Our next storyteller is Jeff Samuels. As I mentioned in my intro, one of our partners is the Student Conservation Association, so Jeff has helped out a lot with the Alaska Trail stewards, and we hope that he and SCA will continue to be great partners in that program. Jeff came to Alaska from California 25 years ago to participate in a Knowles National Outdoor Leadership School course for the summer. He ended up returning a couple years later to work for a guiding company on the Kenai, and he's been in Alaska ever since. Jeff and his wife Sharon live in Girdwood, where they spend their free time hiking, skiing, fishing, and foraging. And as I mentioned, he works for the Student Conservation Office here in Alaska as the State Partnership Director. Please welcome Jeff Samuels.
Hi there, good evening. So I'd like to start with a couple of questions, if I may. Could I get a show of hands for how many people here are Alaskans? Born and raised. Wow, born and raised. That's pretty good. Okay, how about how many people first came to Alaska for one summer? They were gonna come up here and do one thing for one summer and then that was it. There's a few of you. Yeah, I guess I'm one of them too. All right, how many people here are completing that first summer right now in Alaska? How many people are wrapping up that very first season up here in the state? There's a few of you, a couple of you. All right, great. Right on. That's an enviable place to be, I think, when you're trying to figure out if you're going to stay up here and what you're going to do. Alaska is a land of adventure, and what I want to talk about is how did I find, you know, there's so much adventure and so much excitement, and if you read Outside Magazine, it's filled with stories about people doing really crazy things like skiing, you know, 50 miles or 150 miles to, you know, from village to village. And I was trying to figure out what my threshold was for comfort, you know, for adventure in Alaska and a land that seemed limitless, you know. So I first came to Alaska, as Steve mentioned, to do a Knowles course up here, which is a great entry level thing to do in Alaska to get your feet wet and to figure out what sorts of adventures are out there. I signed up for a summer long course, a semester course, and was kayaking and backpacking and mountaineering around Alaska for 75 days. And I met some really interesting people. The instructors on my course, the mentors on my course, were a couple of people who are still really active in Alaska today. Paul Twardock and Mike Wood were a couple of the folks that mentored me in my first summer up here, and they were people I emulated, even though they weren't a whole lot older than me at the time. And I just tried to figure out, you know, what can I do in Alaska? How can I get out there and do something really, really awesome like they're doing? So I had a pivotal summer that first year. I knew I'd come back. I just didn't know when. But the following summer, I went to the next best place, Bonner's Ferry, Idaho, if any of you are familiar with that area. And I volunteered on a Forest Service trail crew down there for the Bonner's Ferry Ranger District. And I learned how to roll my own smokes and drop start a chainsaw as I logged out miles and miles of trail in Boundary County, Idaho. And in fact, I met a really interesting character down there. There were a number of interesting characters on the local trail crew in Bonner's Ferry. They were the paid guys. I was a volunteer. And we got paired up. Volunteers got paired up with the paid guys every day to go out and be a team and to go log out a section of trail. And this one fellow, Mike Fairweather, who was a local, he was pretty crusty, had a heart of gold, born and raised in Bonner's Ferry. He was on work release for the summer. He had gotten into some trouble with some cranberry wine and a dirt bike in Bonner's Ferry, but he was able to come to work every day, which is great. And he and I got paired up pretty early on in my summer to go log out a section of trail for the day. And I remember, you know, I was carrying the Dolmar, I was carrying the fuel, and he was carrying the saw. And he did most of the cutting for the morning, and then all of a sudden, just before lunch, he turns around and hands me the saw. Do you want to cut something down? And I said, you know, yeah, that'd be great, sure. And the first tree we approached is about a 30-foot tall tree. It had a broken off top. It was basically just a log standing up about 30 feet, you know, right alongside the trail. Pretty straightforward, pretty easy to cut, you know, given that you're still cutting down a tree. But I was nervous, you know, it was my first tree to cut down, and Mike had this pretty crazy 1,000-yard stare that he could look right through you or look nowhere all at the same time. You know, you've all bumped into one of these people. And Mike turned around to me and he said, all right, here's your tree. Now just remember two things when you're cutting down a tree. And then seriously, there was this long delay. Two things. two things. Always put the face cut in the direction you want the tree to go. I'll be over here having a cigarette. So that was it. So anyway, my whole summer went about like that. I came back to Alaska the following year. I did find a job. I wanted to be a lodge manager when I came back to Alaska because I figured, oh, I'd been through a Knowles course and I've been on this trail crew. I've got all I need to know to run a bear lodge on the Alaska Peninsula. So I applied to a couple of these places over there, got really polite, you know, no thank you letters, which was really nice of them to even send one back. But I did get hired to drive a shuttle bus on the Kenai Peninsula for a really awesome tourism company. I know, I've totally felt like I was, oh man, I could do so much better. But I got hired by a company called Alaska Wildland Adventures, which is an awesome place to work. And I ended up spending a long time there and progressed, you know, went from a bus driver to a raft guide to a boathouse manager to a lodge manager. And along the way, I was meeting all these other really adventuresome people who were doing really far out things when they weren't guiding on the Kenai River or on the Kenai Peninsula. They were, you know, going to Antarctica in the wintertime, or they were, you know, guiding for polar bears in Churchill, Manitoba, or they were flying their own plane or building their own boat. And again, I thought, boy, how much further can I get? How much further out can I go? You know, there's more to do in this state for sure. And that came to a head last summer when I was invited last minute to join a group that was floating down the Congakut River in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. It's something I'd always heard about, something I'd always wanted to do, and the opportunity came up. Two of my good friends, Greg and Elise, invited me to go, and I filled that last spot on a private group, seven people on that trip. And it's all it's cracked up to be. The Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is bar none the most wild place I've ever been in my life. If any of you ever get the chance to go, jump at it. If you have been, you know what I'm talking about. We had all kinds of weather within, you know, even 48 hours. You know, we'd get rain, snow, wind, sunshine, got it all. We saw a lot of wildlife. We did not see many other people. And we floated for 10 days from the mountains out to the Beaufort Sea on the coast. And one of the most pivotal moments of that experience was about 4 days in, we had eaten dinner, we'd cleaned up our kitchen, we'd gone to bed, we all had our own tents, and we were all kind of scattered out on this gravel bar a little bit. And at about 12:30, I heard a noise, I heard a swat on my tent fly. And when you're groggy and you don't know what the sound was that woke you up, you're trying to figure out what that sound is, and you're thinking, oh, maybe a snowball just hit my tent. Or maybe a tree limb hit my tent. Nope, it's not snowing and there's no trees. Put my glasses on, I slowly got up, I put my Crocs on my feet and I pulled on a fleece jacket and I stood up out of my tent and I did the 360, you know, and sure enough, there's the tail end of a grizzly bear walking away from my tent over towards our kitchen. And I'm the only one awake and I'm freaking out. I had a can of bear spray but nothing else, and my immediate thought was, I need resources. I need people, I need something, because I'm not going to chase this bear with my can of bear spray and not wake anyone up. So I tiptoed past this guy's tent because I knew he had nothing, and this guy slept like a log. I wasn't going to be able to wake him up. So I kept on going back to my friend Greg's tent, and I knew he had a big handgun, and I figured, well, that's something, we can start with that. And then my friend Shannon had a flare on the next tent over. So I figured, okay, those are a couple of good resources. I should wake them up. I woke them up. They got up right away as soon as I whispered, you know, grizzly bear in camp. And they came out, and we watched this bear for just 2 or 3 minutes. It was poking around in our kitchen. It kind of mouthed a few dry bags. It didn't rip into any. And then it walked over to the rafts, and it sort of stood up on the tubes and tested the tubes a little bit, which is kind of nerve-wracking. We were just like, oh, don't pop our boats, you know, and don't tear our kitchen apart and don't charge at us. We were just sort of had all these thoughts going through our mind at the same time. Eventually, he kind of turned and nosed his way out of camp a little bit, and Shannon took one of the bear banger flares and shot it towards the backside of this bear, and that was it. He took off, and immediately the other folks in our group popped out of their tents, you know, whoa, what's going on? What happened? And we explained that a bear had just been in camp and we had just chased it away. And then Juliet looks at me and she says, well, how did you guys know? How did you know there was a bear in camp? And it occurred to me, oh yeah, that's right, it swatted my tent. And we walked back over to my tent. Everyone was, gathered around me, and we're all looking down at my tent fly, and there's this muddy footprint on my tent fly right above my head. And that was it right there. As I was pointing to the bear paw print, I realized I've reached my comfort level. This is it. This is my threshold. I've been looking for it, and I found it. And while there's great value in places like the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, there should be wild land out there. It should be protected. There's greater value, I think, in those great little trips we can do on the weekends, you know, whether it's going up to Crow Pass or going to Hatcher Pass or Eklutna Lake or Palmer Creek Road or whatever you want to do on the weekends. There's plenty to do in Alaska without putting yourself in that position. So thank you for listening to my story.